es marchar. Y que ya no hay fuerzas para continuar. Has pensado abandonar ese sueño, ese anhelo que en tu alma está. La mente dice no, nada puedes hacer. Llego a su final. Cuando nadie en ti crea, cuando te cierren las puertas, por favor no te detengas, porque debes continuar. La esperanza te hará mirar más allá, y la fe te da la fuerza de creer que vencerás. Ahora es tiempo de avanzar y del pasado.
So I guess I'm first.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I blew up. Hola, es un gran bendición estar aquí con ustedes hoy. It's a great blessing to be here with you today. This trip, I just wanted to tell you about Loma Bonita, the work we did there. The Loma Bonita is going to be an orphanage / church, and we were building some rooms. That big hole we dug was a cistern. And I have to say that the work there was very groundbreaking. Fun. Yes. We dug a cistern. It was like 2 meters, which is 6'8" for those of you that use the metric system. And it was very hard. We got through like the first layer of dirt. It was real easy. And then we realized that there's rocks. And probably my least favorite sound of all is swinging full swing with a pickaxe and hearing dink. That's the sound of a rock. And that's like 2 hours work right there. So, but story, a testimony, a story. This is really cool. John was building a wall. You saw a picture of the wall he was building. And we're all working one day, and all of a sudden, I don't know, we're minding our own business. We didn't bother nobody. We're just in there digging and building. And this tempest out of nowhere, just wind starts picking up, starts spinning. We see bags flying in the air. And I instantly go, "I'm ready, Lord." That's my first thought. And Garrett's hat flies off, goes 2 miles up the, or how, it goes pretty far up the mountain, 2 miles. It goes way up the mountain. Yeah, a couple hundred feet in the air, goes up the mountain a little bit, and this tempest had knocked the wall that John had built over. And it was like he had built 6 or 7 columns of, or 6 or 7 rows of blocks. And so it was kind of like, you know, we could have got discouraged or upset about this. We could have got upset. Well, actually, he looks at it and he goes, "Huh," and goes back to work. Like nothing ever happened. It's a man that like truly has faith to believe that God knows everything. Actually, earlier that day, me and John and Howell were talking about a story about one of the people that we were that John was staying with. Their son had died a year ago, and Howell had said, "Solo Dios sabe," which means only God knows, and that's Howell's lifestyle. Like it's not just something he says; he really believes that only God really knows. And so even when that wall came down, the first thing he said was he laughed, and then he said, "Solo Dios sabe." So Howell's a man of faith. He'll be here on the 22nd. If you haven't met him, you need to meet him. He's a blessed man of God, and so is his wife. And anyway, that's the work at Loma Bonita and the tempest that almost blew us over.
Good morning, church. I get to share with you about the vision, and I see it. It's incredible. It's incredible the vision that Pastor Oel has. As you see Joe Foss's vision, what we sit here today because of the vision God gave Joe Foss. And as an extension of that, we see what Pastor Oel is doing down there. And as you saw in the video, the hard labor, the tremendous manpower it takes to move the rock, the lack of equipment, the lack of money, the lifestyle there is so hard. If you saw the water conditions there, you'd understand the importance of that cistern we dug. They don't have ready water. As soon as you open the faucet like we do, it's drinkable. Their water has to be pumped in at a certain time of the day, and the cistern has to hold it, and they have to use it as they need it, and they can't drink that water. And anyway, the vision that I want to talk to you about today is that Paul said in Corinthians 12 that he wouldn't boast in the flesh, but he would boast in the glory of God in the visions that he had had from God when he was called up to the third heaven. And as I watched Pastor Oel down there face opposition after opposition after opposition, he stayed steadfast in that vision. His faith never wavered 1 ounce, no matter what it was. If it was 10 o'clock on the side of the road fixing a truck so we could go to the mountains the next day, he didn't cancel the appointment. He was going to go there. It was going to happen. And I see a great visionary in him, and it's forever changed my life. As we labored hard and tremendously on this project at Loma Bonita, he stopped one evening at this vacant lot there close to where we were living and by the Progressive Church. And 2-9 go. And as we looked at this lot, I wonder what we were getting out for. We all stopped and got out of the vehicles and went out and prayed on this lot. And this lot's empty. But Pastor Oel owns that lot, and they have a vision for that lot. They have a set of blueprints I have in this bag here, or this folder that I have. And what they want to do is start a kindergarten there, 3-story kindergarten. And I'm sitting there going, this guy's got all this work at Loma Bonita that's not even finished, but he's got a vision from God for a kindergarten over here. I mean, what drives this guy? What motivates this guy? And it has to be God. You know, when you get a vision from God, you do 2 things with it. You're either obedient to it or you reject it. And so I admire this man by his great, great vision, obedience, his obedience to God's vision. And I just want to show you, in Habakkuk, it tells us to put your vision on paper, on tablets. And this is what Pastor Oel sees on that vacant lot. As we were going to one of the places we went to on a Saturday there, Pastor, as we were in this big commercial bus going, being chartered to where we were going for that Saturday event, as we passed this vacant lot, I looked over at the lot out the window and I thought, God, you know, I pray for that lot. And I heard immediately God say to me, you can help with that lot. You can help bring that building to pass. You can raise money for that lot. So I'm going to campaign for money to build that kindergarten. It's $100,000. I think that God can do it. I know God can do it, and I'm going to be the vessel that God uses. So all your prayers, all your help, and any way you can help would be greatly appreciated. And you can talk to me about that at any other time. But I just admire these men for their vision. I pray that if God gives you a vision, you will hold fast to that vision and bring it to pass. Amen?
Praise the Lord. I want to speak briefly about the children's ministry they have going on there. With their vision comes an understanding that the kingdom of God is from generation to generation to generation, and that Hoel's sons serve the Lord, his grandsons serve the Lord, and they minister to every generation in that church. And it's a community type of deal. They do on Saturday mornings. They invite all the kids and anybody into the church to come for scheduled classes that they have, and they feed everybody breakfast. And so I think there's like 140 kids from kindergarten up to college age almost who are able to come in there, and they'll have a time of worship collectively, and then they just break it out and they divide the whole sanctuary, and they break into classes based on age, and then they do, I don't know, like an hour-long course for the kids, and after so long, they graduate this course, and they've earned something by going through it, and they continue on. And so it's just a powerful thing that it reminds me a lot of our church being focused on community outreach and really getting out there. And a lot of even these 140 kids, maybe they don't all go to that church, but they're in those classes, and as a result of this kids' ministry, families are getting touched by the Lord. And that really reminds me of our church, which is just really the Lord's heart to reaching families is through whatever needs means possible. And so the kids are there, and they feed breakfast. It's just a great time that the Lord uses to minister to these young ones.
While we was there, we had the privilege and opportunity to go into one of the prisons there. And I just want to start off, you know, with the about 3 or 4 days out, the pastor began to tell us how difficult and how hard it is to get into the prison. And then with such a large group that we were going in, that he perceived to see difficulties. But he said, pray about it. And that's what we did. We began to pray about it. And when we got there, I've been in prison, so I know how hard it is to get in and out of prisons here. And it was so easy. We just went in, gave our passports. Well, we gave them to this pastor. The pastor handed them to the officials. The officials handed us these little wooden passes. They pat searched us and let us go right through with no difficulty, nothing. And when we walked into this prison, it's totally different than any prison here. You didn't go to no visitation room. You didn't go to no chapel or nothing. You was in the prison. I mean, we was actually amongst the inmates. They wear free world clothes, so you don't really know who's guards or what there. So, but we walk in and we go to the rec yard. And the rec yard's not a field or grassy place. It's like a concrete courtyard, I guess you'd call it, and buildings around it. And we start setting up a table and passing out tracts to these inmates to come to the service that we was about to do. And I had to use the restroom, so the pastor told me, go with this guy. And we went into his cell. I actually went into his cell to use the restroom and come out. And it was just totally amazing. But what I want to get at is this. The service was powerful. The Lord really anointed it. We did some dramas there, Maggie and them did. And then Cynthia sang, and the pastors, some of the other pastors that was with us, they sang. And then we shared our testimony. John shared his testimony, and I shared mine. A couple days prior, the Lord had begun to put on my heart about the message of the demonic man who was in the tombs. And at the end of my testimony, I shared how the Lord had ministered to me through that, because it's kind of a symbol of how my life was before I knew the Lord, you know, just the crazy life and all that stuff. And I shared that, and the Lord anointed it. And one guy came up to me afterwards, and he started saying how it really touched him, because he had got messed up on drugs and went out of his mind, and the Lord delivered him. And then he went back and did drugs again and got messed up out of his mind, and the Lord delivered him again. But he was really encouraged by the word of that message. And then the Lord spoke to me and told him, because I was trying to tell him about spiritual warfare and how that prison is his ministry field. And the Lord told me to give him a word, and that because he had said, because of people witnessing his mental condition prior to his rededication of his life and his healing, that he feels like he has no opportunity to speak to people because they look at him funny or whatever. And I told him, that's just the enemy, man. That's why you have the ammunition to speak, because you have a testimony. And that's what the Lord gave me the word is that when the demonic man wanted to go with Jesus and the disciples, he said, no, you go and you tell what how much God has done for you. And I felt like it was a word the Lord gave him. And he was real encouraged about it. And afterwards, just a lot of guys came up and talked to us. There was one guy, it was his first time to be in church. He said, I don't know if he meant in prison or his whole life, but he wanted what we had. He didn't give his life to the Lord. I continue to pray for him, but he was really touched, and I know that the seeds was planted, and there was a lot of guys there that wasn't normally in the church. So,
into the trip, we went to a city up in the mountains called Damu. It's about 2 hours, I don't know what direction, it's 2 hours from Tulancingo. And while we were going up these mountains, it was beautiful, for one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. But going up these mountains, you look off to the right, and there's like a 100-foot drop. And then you look to the left, and there's a 100-foot rise. And we're just going up and down through these mountains, and the fumes coming out of the exhaust are awful. And so John starts feeling sick to his stomach. And we go a little ways, and our driver's name is Julio. And he's like, Julio, you've got to stop. I'm going to throw up. And Julio, he's like, whenever we get to the city, we'll stop. We're almost there. So he keeps driving. We're going up and down these hills. And John's like, Julio, you've got to stop right now. I'm about to throw up in your van. And so we go a little ways more, and he pulls over to the side. And John gets out, goes over to the side. He's getting some fresh air. And Julio realized we weren't really pulled that far off the road. So he gets back in the van and goes to pull it over more. And it starts rolling forward, and we realize the van's not stopping. The brakes had gone out on the van. And so the guys go over there. We stop the van, and he puts it in park. And the wheels on the van were so hot you could spit on them. And, like, instantly, it didn't even sizzle. The spit just evaporated. And so it was a miracle. God used John, made him feel sick, so we had to pull over. And we found out the brakes had gone out on the van. So that could have been an issue.
Praise God. Hola, buenos dias, mi familia. Dios le bendiga. It's such a joy to be back home in your presence. One of the memorable moments that I would like to share with you is the meeting of this little boy that we met through one of the services outside of Tulancingo. And to find out the purpose of his interest in me that he had showed while being there. His grandmother and him had come to a service, and they sat like one row ahead of me on the opposite side. And the little boy continued to touch his mother, his grandma, and kept pointing back at me. And, you know, I didn't think much of that, me being an African American and 6'2", and then jumping around praising God. You know, that was kind of practical for a little boy to be like, whoa, look, Mom, look at this. You know, but as the service went on, the little boy and his grandmother went up for the altar call. The pastor had given an altar call for prayer and to receiving of the Holy Spirit. And they were crying, and I went up also to assist the pastor with some of the men there. And after the altar call, the grandmother come to me, and they was crying. The little boy, I thought he was just crying because she was crying. And it could have been part of that, too. But she come to me, and she was saying something about the little boy. And I quite didn't understand everything she was saying. So David Young was there, and he took the opportunity to interpret for me. And he said, the little boy wants you. She said, the little boy wants to hold you to hold him. And at that point, I picked him up, and the little boy was just weeping and crying. I still didn't know why, and Davion said that. He said that his father had left his home, and the little boy said that also that I looked so much like the father. And he must have held me, embraced me for like 15 to 20 minutes crying. And after that, I put him down, and we started to worship and praise and all around the church running around, and he was holding a tail shirt. My tail shirt, and he would push me when I stopped, and he would hold on while I was running. So he was on my shoulder and on my tail shirt all the rest of the night, and I got his information, and I will be sending him pictures and trying to stay in contact with him.
Well, I guess the part that I want to share is when we were in Thelthy Pond, on the slideshow, there was a picture of a little girl who had the pencil and paper in her hand, and she was mentally handicapped, but she would go up to you, and she would have this great big smile, but she'd ask you your name. She didn't want to know anything else but your name, and you would tell you her name, or you tell her your name, and she'd get so excited, and she'd write it down, but she'd just write circles for your name, and then she would start waving, and like she had this great big grin on her face, and she'd be waving, and she'd be like, come here. No one was there. There was no one around, and she went to everyone at least once, and she would ask you your name, she'd write it down, and then she'd start waving to this person. I mean, just huge grin on her face, and we continued, really all of us really continued to watch this girl during the service, and she was so passionate about the Lord. I mean, she was just this little precious girl, and she was so passionate about God, and Davion explained it really well when he said that all she knows is that Jesus loves her and she loves him back. And that's all that mattered to her. And when this girl worshiped, she didn't care. She was just so, so free in her worship. I mean, it was beautiful. And even towards the end of the service, she spoke to Maggie and she said, Jesus is over there. And she says, I see Jesus. And if you knew the atmosphere, of the service, it was absolutely beautiful. I mean, the presence of God was so thick. I mean, people were on their faces that you would never see. Thank you. That you would never see on their faces. And there was people dancing that you would never see dancing. And even the youth that was part of the church in Tulancingo, like there was even some freedom from there for them there. And they went up and they were really involved with the prayer. But it was absolutely incredible to see, and I think what I got out of it the most was the power of God and the anointing of God and how rich the presence of God is. And it was, I mean, like, when I tell you, just everyone danced and everyone jumped, and like at one point, everyone was just running around the outskirts. It was an outdoor church. I mean, everyone was running around the outskirts of this church, and they had these flags that said Alleluia in great big letters on them. I mean, and we're just running, and I'm telling you, it was like the Holy Ghost, because you didn't wear out. You just kept going and going and go, and you know what I mean, like these songs wouldn't end. You could just keep going and keep running and keep running, and you know, you're just kind of twirling and dancing and just, I mean, it's not like a little trot, like you're like sprinting through this church and it doesn't stop. But it was just, it was positively incredible. Like, I mean, it was the freedom of God, and what that spoke to me is that freedom can be here, and that presence can be here. It's not that you have to go to Mexico or Africa or wherever it may be. You can bring that spirit of God here, and all you have to do is ask for it. And he's just so ready to give it and just to let his spirit pour out. And it was beautiful. It was just beautiful. So,
buenos dias. The people there, the people there are so loving, so caring. You know, the people in the church, they treated us like royalty, and it was humbling to see the love that these people was giving to us. But it wasn't only them; it was the people in the neighborhood. I mean, me and Garrett would walk from the church to the house every day, and people got to where they wanted to talk to us and wave, you know, buenos dias or buenas tardes, and you know, and just talk to us every day. And there was a tienda, a store up the street from the church that we went to every day. And I'd always go up there and get a Coca-Cola every day because they make Coca-Colas with real sugar and they're good. But, it's a little family-owned store. The husband's name was Jesus and his wife was Lupe, and they had two or three little girls. And we befriended them, and me and Garrett, even one night walking home, stopped in there. There wasn't nobody around. They wasn't doing anything, so we prayed for them, for the whole family, and that really touched their lives, you know, and that was awesome. And one morning we went in there, and the oldest little girl was in there, and she counted out my change in English, and I was so used to hearing English and Spanish back and forth that I didn't recognize it. Man, she looked at me like, you know, come on, you didn't hear what I just did, you know. I said, you counted my change in Spanish. Man, she lit up. I mean, the English, she lit up, man. It was cool. But the day we left, we were walking back, and we stopped at another tienda because they got 5-peso Pepsis. They're cheap, man, you know. And while we were there, me and Garrett, we had all our bags and everything, had our backpack, and we're dragging our bags with us. And the Jesus, he seen us from the other store. And he went and jumped in his truck and come around the block to come see us off. Gave me a hug, told us he was going to miss us, and he wanted us to come back. He's like, and that was awesome. Now, and I wasn't expecting that. And, you know, most people, you know, like, a lot of times people be like, why are you at this other store? But he didn't care. He wanted to come see us off and let us know that he cared about us. And that was awesome. It was like that mostly everywhere we went. Those people are real loving, kind people. And if you ever get a chance to go, you better go. All right.
We had a time every day when we went to the streets, and we were in teams of two, and me and Taylor were in a team, and we had found this little girl. We were kind of didn't know what to do, or we supposed to knock on doors like we do here, or what do we do? So anyways, we came across this little girl that just appeared, and we ended up meeting her grandma, and she was like, y'all come back over here tomorrow, I'm gonna have a table. It sounded like it was in the streets, but you know, it was our second day in Mexico, so we didn't quite understand. She's like, I'll set up a table, and I'll have some little girls out here, and they'll help you with your Spanish. Well, as it turns out, they invited us into their home. So almost every day we'd go over there to their house. And we actually started praying with the girls before we would leave. They would pray in Spanish. We would pray in English. And keep in mind that this is just on the streets. It's not, they weren't part of our church. It was part of our street ministry. And so we did that, you know, off and on for 6 weeks. And when we went to leave, it was the last day. It was only one little girl with us and the grandma. And we were, you know, talking to her, telling her we're going to leave. And whenever we went to actually leave, she just broke down and wept. And the thing is, you really don't know how much people are watching you, whether you're in a foreign country or here, just the light that you have within you, because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. People see that, and they long for that. They're hungry for that. And so it's the same thing over there, how we affected lives that we didn't even realize we were really affecting. We thought that they were just helping us, when in all reality, we were also blessing them. But overall, the trip was successful. We went to go build a at Loma Bonita and do physical labor there. But not only did we do that, but we also helped ignite a fire within the church and local people. You know, they would also come help. And so hopefully that will continue once we're gone. And just overall, that it was successful because of y'all's prayers and, you know, our prayers and everybody's prayers. But, you know, the Lord sent us. And so it was successful because we did what he had sent us to do, whether it was ministry or we were able to visit 8 different churches and put on services. And, you know, so everything just went really smooth, and we were able to learn. We went to learn the language. We picked up on the language. We were, you know, so if you speak Spanish, come talk to us anytime. We need to continue. Thank you.
And before every meal, here's what they did.
I'm going to pray in Spanish. Señor Jesús, te damos gracias por estos alimentos. Oh, no. Señor Jesús, te damos gracias por estos alimentos que tú nos das. Bendícelos, multiplícalos y dáselos a aquellos que no lo tienen. Te lo pido en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.